You've tuned in to Naturopathy Earth Radio in occult health news, where you get the latest on medical cover-ups, government malfeasance, toxins being put in our food and home, as well as sound, clean eating principles. We are here to cast a light on what the big sick care industry and its government shills don't want you to know. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of shackles of Big Food and start your journey now on a long, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathy Earth. Here's your host, A. Gregory Luna.
Hey, everybody. This is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregorio. And welcome back to another episode of NPE Radio and Occult Health News. I hope you've been doing well. I am recording this. Clearly, the audio is not as optimal as it normally is. And so the reason for that is because I'm currently in Colorado. I'm over in Breckenridge, Colorado when I'm recording this. And when you listen to this, I will still be in the red state, color red state, as the name Colorado means. So before we talk about the 15 most anti-vax cities in Los Estados Unidos, the website, of course, is naturopathicearth.com, naturopathicearth.com. If you've noticed, if you've gone to it in the last week, it is much, much faster. I have a man who I met through upwork.com, not a free promo here for them, but a Nepalese IT guy, and I hired him for a couple of shekels, very reasonable, to work on the website. So he fixed some stuff. We moved a logo over to the center, and it's much faster, and it's great. Also, you'll notice that I created a pull-down tab for my Sleep Insomnia Chronicles series. I separated those out from Confessions and made them their own pull tab. So if any of you are coming to this site because you've heard about my insomnia, go click and read those. I release those about once every 6 weeks, detailing my insomnia. There's 6 installments. Also, I am a certified paleo-inspired health coach. If any of you are in the need to lose weight, please contact me. I have maintained my weight for over 25 years. There are struggles along the way, as if you listen to the Confessions podcast series would know. But overall, I'm pretty healthy. And I can help you be healthy, too. Also, we have a couple of ways to help defray the costs of the website. We have a Patreon account, which is www.patreon.com/naturopathicearth. There are links on this episode notes of this episode. And also, we have Amazon affiliate links throughout some of the articles. In fact, most of the articles have that. So if you click on those links and any purchases that you make within 24 hours of anything in Amazon, anything at all, I get a very small 2% of what you buy. So if you want to buy a flat screen, hey, if you go there, I can get something. So a couple of things before I talk about the anti-vaxxers. So I'm in Colorado. I made some rookie mistakes. I'm from Texas where it doesn't snow, and I really didn't prepare for this weekend trip. So I don't have boots. I don't wear boots in Texas. And I wanted to go hiking here, and I knew there was snow on the mountains, but I never made this connection that perhaps I want to go hiking up in the hills to get a nice vista. So there might be snow. So I went hiking with my sneakers, and that wasn't too bad of a problem if I stayed off the path because it was still fresh snow, about, you know, maybe 8 inches thick. But on the main path, since so many people walked through, it was like walking on an ice skating ring. And so I was like, should I do this? Because I wanted to go 6 miles to this Mohawk Lake. And I was like, I mean, stamina-wise, I can certainly do it. But I did a little walking when I came in on Friday, a little hiking, some snowy area. And I was like, So for some reason on Saturday today, I was like, I'm going to go try this much longer hike, which probably has ice. And so I go over there. So I'm walking, and I do about 2 miles. And I'm like trying to stay off the road or trying to stay off the path. But I am slipping. And all these other people walk around me, even these tourists from Japanese, are all wearing boots. And most of the people here have these chains that you can wrap around your boots if they're regular boots, or they have the boots with the spikes in them so you can walk in snow. Well, I didn't think about any of these things. So I'm on this trail and I go about 3 miles. I decide to turn around because I'm worried that I've gone up a lot and now I'm going to have to go down quite a bit. And that's going to be harder for me not to slip. So I turned around, I went back down, and I did slip. It came from nowhere. And I went, boom, landed right on my back and on the back of my head. At the time, I was looking straight up at the sky. I was listening to a podcast, and I had my breath knocked out. And honestly, guys, I have not had my breath knocked out 20 years at least, if not more, maybe since high school. It was an odd feeling, and luckily, I bruised my back. I can tell it's bruised when I move my left scapula around, but I'll be fine. I took a hot bath, but I could have, you know, tweaked my knee. I was worried the whole time on this hike. I was like, God, just don't mess up your LCL or ACL. Don't mess up your knees. And then I was thinking on this trail too. It's like, what happens when people get injured? Do they send like paramedics on a helicopter to go get them, like in that Sylvester Stallone movie, Cliffhanger? I was like, I wonder how they get people. I mean, because that was pretty far up. But so that's a funny story. So I should have bought some boots. Yeah. That was a big mistake on my part. Colorado's overall pretty nice from the ones I've encountered at restaurants and whatnot. I had hibiscus cider last night. It was so good. I never had hibiscus cider. It was good. I was watching the World Series and I met some people over there. But all right, so let's talk about anti-vax cities. All right, so I wanted to talk about these cities because I am a geography fan and I was actually curious as to what the cities were. And a lot of them are not surprising. Some of them are a little surprising. But I have done a couple of vaccination episodes before in the mid-50s. I did one on some reasons why you might not want to give your teenage daughter or son the Gardasil vaccine. And maybe around episode 52, I talked about some reasons why the flu shot is problematic. So if you're wanting some information about flu vaccinations or vaccinations in general, there's also an episode between the two about ways to naturally strengthen your immune system so you won't have to take these vaccines, making the assumption that the vaccines do work, which the flu vac doesn't work 65% of the time. And even the CDC will tell you that. All right, so I wanted to bring this up also because I heard, there's a couple of celebrities that are anti-vax. I think the most well-known one, and not for her acting, but just for being the spokesperson for it, is Jenny McCarthy from the old MTV's game show Remote Control, where she was like the blonde bimbo. And I think Chris Hardwick from Walking Dead after show, I think he was the game show host. But either way, she was pretty anti-vax because she said that her son got autism through the vaccinations, through the MMR. And also Jim Carrey's anti-vax and Selma Blair, who's a minor actress, is one. But Kat Von D, who I guess is most known for dating Marilyn Manson back in the day and being a burlesque kind of dancer, she just announced she was pregnant and she posted on her Instagram account that she was not going to vaccinate her children. And apparently she was given a lot of lip, you know, all the trolls that are on social media. But she was getting a lot of heat. She said, quote, "We're bringing our children into this world and we're trying to do it in the absolute best way we can with the information we have and the information we're given." So she got a lot of lip for being an anti-vaxxer. And the funny thing is, it's really nobody's business. Now, the pro-vax people will say it's all about herd immunity. And she has to, because the more of us that have it, the more herd immunity. But what about parental rights and what you think is best for your child? So I just wanted to bring her up. All right, so let's talk about the cities with the most anti-vaxxers. It says, these 15 cities are hotspots for kids not getting vaccines. The rise in non-medical exemptions by families to opt out of vaccinations for their kids have created hotspots. I like how they use that word. It's like it's radioactive, like it's a negative connotation if you want to be not giving your kids vaccines. where the risk of contracting diseases like measles are growing, a study finds. The study published in the Public Library of Science journal PLOS Medicine found 12 of the 18 states allowing exemptions to vaccine for religious or philosophical reasons have shown an increase in the number of kindergarten-age children enrolled in school with NMEs, non-medical exemptions, since 2009. Researchers studied data on exemptions using data from the 18 states and the CDC, focusing on the years from 2010 to 2017. As a result, hotspots have developed where the risk of getting kids getting diseases like measles have jumped because of the growing number of non-medical exemptions. Quote, this is from Peter Hotez, professor of the Baylor College of Medicine and co-editor-in-chief of the journal that just published this. Said in a joint statement, quote, as larger vaccination populations grow, particularly in high mobile cities, the potential for vaccine preventable disease outbreaks grow. Close quote. The rise in unvaccinated children stems from a discredited belief that vaccines are linked to autism. In recent years, multiple outbreaks of measles, once considered eliminated by the CDC in 2000, have popped up. A 2016 study published by JAMA from researchers at Emory University links refusals of vaccines to increases in cases of measles and whooping cough. All right, so a couple of things here. Look, measles, we used to have measles parties. We used to have chickenpox parties back in the 60s and 70s. Measles, yes, they can be uncomfortable, but they kill very little people. They kill very little people in the United States. So I love it. Same for the chickenpox vaccine. That's like another scammy vaccine. Like, oh, it's been around. Doesn't really hurt people. Doesn't even work. But if it does work, you know, maybe you're not going to get chickenpox as a child, which is harmless to 99.5% of Americans. But then you might get shingles later on, or increases your chances of getting shingles. So I like how they make the connection here between the rise in measles outbreaks with the anti-vaxxers, even though that the rise in measles aren't necessarily in the high anti-vax states. All right, the 12 states showing an increase in exemptions are Arkansas, Arizona, Idaho, Maine, Minnesota, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Texas, and Utah. Six more states, Colorado, Louisiana, Michigan, Missouri, Washington State, and Wisconsin also allow the exemptions. All right, so is there any commonality in these states? Well, the first thing you would think is maybe if they're all conservative because they believe more in parental rights. So they don't want government telling them what to do with their kids. But some of these states that are not necessarily liberal, Ohio is a liberal, is a battleground state. Oregon is very liberal. Colorado can go both ways. Louisiana is pretty liberal. Michigan is mixed. Washington State, especially western part, is pretty liberal. So it's not necessarily that. Certainly there's some very uber conservative states here with Utah, Texas, Oklahoma, North Dakota, and Arizona, and Idaho too, to a certain extent. But there doesn't seem to be a correlation between the two. All right, so the study also isolated 15 metropolitan areas where more than 400 kindergarten-age children aren't vaccinated. You see how all this is tracked. Now, over here in Texas, to get the vaccination exemption, the affidavit for refusal for religious or philosophical reasons is very easy. You just go to the Department of Public Health of the state of Texas, the great state of Texas. You go to their website, and it's like one click, and then you put in your information, your address, the names of the children you want to be exempted, and you hit submit, and it's mailed to you, and you get them in 3 days, and then you just have to get your signature notarized, and boom, every school, every daycare has to abide by it. So I don't know how easy or difficult it is in these other states. I imagine in some of these states, they must have to go through more loopholes than we do here in Texas. All right, so let's look at these cities. Arizona. In Arizona, we have Phoenix. Phoenix. Arizona as a whole is a very conservative state. Utah, Provo, where I've been to, Brigham Young, and Salt Lake City. That is not a surprise at all. Washington State, we have Seattle and Spokane. Now, it was funny because Seattle and Spokane are radically different in every way, shape, or form. One's all rainy and cloudy and very liberal, and Spokane's on the far side near Idaho, and it's very conservative. Or in Oregon, we have Portland, not a surprise. Michigan, we have Detroit, Troy, and Warren. Houston. In Texas, Fort Worth in Texas, Plano, which is a suburb outside of Dallas in Texas, and Austin. Those are the four cities in Texas. And then in Pennsylvania, we have Pittsburgh. And then in Missouri, we have Kansas City. All right, so it's Phoenix, Provo, Salt Lake, Seattle, Spokane, Portland, Oregon, Detroit, Troy, Warren, Michigan, Houston, Fort Worth, Plano, Austin, Texas, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Kansas City, Missouri. All right, we're going to go back to that in a second here. What commonality do these cities have? Hotez and Nolan said in a second study that is underway on these areas to learn how to better target campaigns aimed at encouraging more families to allow vaccinations. Yes, unleash the propaganda, the apparatchik. Unleash them to convince these free thinkers, these ominous, threatening free thinkers to think more like the herd. I really don't know what accent that's from. Overall, 8 of the top 10 counties with the highest non-medical exemption rates were in Idaho. Idaho. Eight of the top 10 counties in the U.S. The study found that the 10 counties with the highest rates have fewer than 50,000 persons and are located in the rural regions of the state. Yeah, small town, that's all government, get away from me. It's probably where the Montana militia is hanging out, or the Idaho militia. According to the most recent Center for Disease Control and Prevention data from 2015, nearly 92% of kids aged 19 to 35 months received a vaccination for measles, mumps, and rubella. Most states require children to have up-to-date vaccinations to enroll in public schools. Yes, and they have the signs to tell you that too. They'll say, no shots, no school, right? Which is not true at all. But again, they want you to get the vaccines and prey upon your ignorance. But no, like, well, I suppose in some states, like Massachusetts or something, you don't have any rights. But here in Texas, when they put those signs up, it's absolutely not true. It takes 2 clicks and you'll get them in 3 days. Most states require children to have up-to-date vaccinations to enroll in public schools. Quote, our concern is that the rising non-medical exemptions linked to the anti-vaccine movement in the United States will stimulate other countries to follow a similar path. Oh my God, like that'd be so bad. As it is, we are the most over-vaccinated country in the world. So I doubt any of the Western European countries would be like, you know what? I think we've been under-vaccinating. We used to over-vaccinate. I think America's got it right. We need to re-amp our devil serum campaign of the vaccines into our citizenry over here in the EU. Like, vaccination is very controversial. I could tell you, even at my own school, the students and the teachers get free flu vaccinations. And when the kids ask me, you know, did you get your flu vaccine? Or if my friends ask me, I tell them no, just matter-of-factly. And, you know, I think it's like with kind of like the Illuminati 5 years ago, 10 years ago, nobody really knew about it. But now with Kanye and all these artists showing Illuminati signs, you know, a lot of the high schoolers know about it. Beforehand, it was just weirdo conspiracy theorist people who listened to shortwave, which I happen to be one of those people. But now it's pretty pervasive. So like with the anti-vax, most people still vaccinate, but there are going to be, at least it's in the know that there is an anti-vax group. And I'm not going to go into a straight up podcast talking about vaccination. Should you not vaccinate all your children? I'm not going to go into that. I've talked about Gardasil in the previous episode back in 53, 54. And that one I did because that is an optional shot and it's caused so many side effects that I felt that people needed to know about it. And then with the flu shot is so ineffectual because, again, it's a virus. It mutates. There's 3 different strands, and they make the vaccines a year ahead of time, hoping that flu A is going to be the one that's going to be bad in winter of 2018, 2019. And if it's flu B, then nobody's protected. And as it is, even when they get the right number, I'm sorry, the right letter right, even at the end of the flu season, if you find the right articles, they'll say, oh yeah, CDC admits that the flu vaccine was only effective 20% of the time. Not to mention all the adjuvants, all the preservatives that are in it, all the weird frankincense retrovirus kind of crap they put in there, or Frankenstein, all the chicken embryos and so forth. But definitely the mercury, the formaldehyde, the aluminum. These are some known preservatives that they put in these vaccines that also cause problems. But my point is this. It is very controversial. There was a big blow up in the CDC 2 years ago. Well, let's go back to Andrew Wakefield's study on autism back 20 years ago or so. The big scandal one where his alleged fraudulent study showed that there was a link between vaccine and autism. And when it was eventually retracted, if you look at the story, if you can find an objective article, he's still vociferously anti-vax, and he still stands behind the basic premise. Now, did he fudge? Did he do some improprieties, skewing data? Yeah, apparently he did. But he still holds behind this truth. And then the big study, the big scandal that came out about 2 years ago that most people don't know about is the Thompson-Hooker scandal. So Thompson is a high-level scientist at the CDC. And he felt bad about all the lies that had been told about the vaccines. And so he came out and whistle blew, and he went to Mr. Hooker, who was a journalist, pro-anti-vaxxer, and he interviewed him. And so one of the things that came out of this was that Thompson said that there was a link between autism in the African-American community in the flu vaccine, like a fourfold increase. And that was one of the big whopping stories that came out of that, that there in fact was a link. And you didn't hear about it in the news. So now if you research it at all, if you know anti-vaxxers, most of them will talk about Wakefield, but some people know about this Thompson-Hooker scandal. But the CDC, of course, has a vested interest in promoting this because they're the biggest purchasers of the flu vaccines every year. And so that's why they're always pushing, because they want to get rid of that inventory. But even with MMR, look, there's a lot of anecdotal evidence for sure that the anti-vaxxers will stick to. You know, my child was fine when they were 2.5 years old, and then they went in for the first dose of the MMR, and they came back essentially completely changed, or they had cardiac arrest from the Tdap vaccine. And you hear all these horrible stories. So the thing is, you're never going to – I think it's very difficult to convince anti-vaxxers to go back to being pro-vaxxers, because at this point, they've read so much on it that it's almost like a religion to them. And so when we, in this article, we talk about the efforts are going to be made to go into Phoenix and Salt Lake and so forth to educate these families, it's not going to make a difference. They're going to quote so many of the anti-vax studies, or they'll tell you to go watch the documentary Vaxxed, which I have not done. They might mention the Simpsonwood Conference, which was a conference hosted by the CDC back in 2000. And it's a classic among anti-vax conspiracy theorists, and that they recorded the conference. And one of the things that got leaked out of it is that there was, in fact, a link between thimerosal, which is a preservative found in a host of vaccines, but still in the flu vax, and it's mercury, with autism. And so this came out in this conference. In the conference, one of the things they wanted to discuss on the agenda was how to minimize this exposure, how to obfuscate it, and how to prevent the public from finding out about it. So my point going back to this is, like, even with the Thompson-Hooker scandal that came out 2 years ago, you'll find people who say, who even know about it, pro-vaxxers, because, you know, if you have vehement anti-vaxxers, you're going to have vehement pro-vaxxers, just people who love to debate and want to win for winning's sake. And they'll come out and they'll show you the stats and studies that dismiss the Thompson-Hooker study and that how that was manipulated by anti-vaxxers for, you know, their agenda. So it's very difficult. You have to practice discernment, definitely, with the anti-vax material. Okay, let's wrap up. Now, this study about the top 15 anti-vax cities kind of confirms what I've thought for a long time, but it is a little surprising. So again, if you look at these cities, I am not surprised at all that the Pacific Coast cities are on this list. Not surprise at all. I mean, if you've gone to Seattle, in Portland, and San Fran, in these cities, they're very progressive, and I might not necessarily agree with their politics, but when it comes to knowledge about toxins in the food, I mean, I don't think there's a better place than the West Coast, and Colorado to a certain extent. So over in the West Coast, in Portland and Washington, they have naturopathic medical schools. I mean, they actually embrace naturopathy over there, and you can practice with your naturopathic license in those specific states. And so they're more embracing of that. And I think as a whole, I could be wrong on quoting the studies, but typically if you look at like one of the kind of currents running through anti-vaxxers, a lot of them tend to be very educated and a lot of them tend to be liberal. Now, that offsets the other group. So the other group, you have Utah, Salt Lake, and then you have Texas, which if you look at the three cities, Houston, Fort Worth, Dallas, are pretty conservative. And then Austin is radically liberal. And so when you look there, then it's like, huh. Now, with Utah, since I used to be with Miss Kate McCall, and I knew her family pretty well who live in Utah, I would say that it is a little surprising and not too surprising. I know as a whole, and I can't speak for the LDS Mormon Church, there's no official doctrine that says they're anti-vax. But from what I gather, it's, again, not surprising that they're anti-vax or there's a high population of anti-vaxxers in Utah, partly because Utah is a very well-educated state. It's a high socioeconomic state, and it has, you know, one of the smallest rates of divorce, also one of the highest rates of depression use, antidepressant use, and drugs. But it's a very high-achieving state, and that would connect it to the people that live in Portland and Seattle and Austin and San Francisco, also well-educated. But I think there's probably something having to do with the Mormon faith that also makes those two cities a stronghold. Now, Austin radically left, so it's going to be similar to the West Coast cities. Houston, too, is pretty liberal. And Fort Worth is pretty conservative. Now, I can't really speak about Pennsylvania, and Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania and Kansas City, Missouri. I've been through those towns, but I can't really speak for their politics. The one that kind of surprises me is Detroit, Michigan, and Troy, and these cities. It's like Detroit. And they're, I mean, this is the metro area, but Detroit, the city, is had some, to use a euphemism here, some tough times the last 30 years with pretty much anybody with money leaving the town. And now there's parts of Detroit that are anarchic and no cops want to go in there. And of course, Detroit's kind of the butt of all jokes, but I hear that it is recuperating. But that one's interesting. I don't know if it's the people in the suburbs of Detroit, like Grosse Pointe, places like that are balancing out that number. But I mean, I'm not surprised that Boston's not in there. I'm not surprised that New York City's not in there. I definitely do think that there is going to be a level of education. And that's not to say, guys, like, oh, you know, if you're educated, you wouldn't fall for the pro-vaccination scams. You know, I'm not necessarily saying that. What I can just speak from experience, just totally anecdotally and totally on a separate topic. When I was teaching in the South Side, where the parents were not educated at all, many were undocumented workers, and when I would bring up some of these topics to the kids, they were like totally shocked. Now, where I teach, which is a mid-level socioeconomic school, they're more in the know. So I think it has something to do with education, but that's not to say there's certainly many doctors and lawyers and the high occupations, CEOs and so forth, who vaccinate their kids because they don't even think about it. So I think maybe it's people who are left-leaning and or people, perhaps more importantly, that are embracing of organic and clean food. And from that, they branch from clean food to clean living. So it could be removing, you know, electromagnetic frequency radiation or scented candles or smart meters or whatever it is. Maybe they start with that, getting all the VOCs out of the house. And then from there, they move over to the vaccine. So I don't know. But I did just want to bring up these cities to you so you would know if you live in one of these metropolises as a whole. And I don't want to make too many stereotypes about cities or regions that would be hot pockets for vaccination because I don't want to cast aspersions on anybody. But again, I think it's also another connection here is cities that are the most fit, or states that are the most fit. So Coloradans, very fit. Washington State, very fit, low rate, lower rate of obesity. No one really has a low rate altogether. But if you look at Oregon and Northern California and Colorado, and if you look at microcosms like over in Austin, you'll see that these cities have the highest exercise rates and they have the highest lowest rate of obesity, and also they're very well-educated cities. So I think it's kind of an amalgam of all three of those. It's going to be education, a little liberal, and just being embracing of the clean eating, clean living world. And I think that maybe exposes them to be anti-vaxxer. But I would love to interview one. Perhaps I will get one here, because I know it has been some time since I've interviewed somebody. All right, guys. So I know the audio quality on this one was not that great. I rambled on a little more than normal. So I apologize for that. But as always, hit the subscribe button and get these episodes sent directly to you. Go check out my website, because it's super fast now. So if any of you went to it originally and it was slow, go to it, opt in and give me your email and name, and then you'll get all my food recipes and all my articles emailed directly to you. So some of you only listen to this podcast, but you don't get the article sent to you. So I would recommend you do that, because I have some pretty cool articles. And I did one recently on the 6 ways to naturally lower your blood pressure. And I also do many recipes, so you might want to give them a shot. Also, as always, post a review for Confessions and for Kate's Apothecary and for MP Radio and Occult Health News. All right, guys. Bon voyage from Colorado. I'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to NPE Radio and Occult Health News. Visit our website at naturopathicearth.com. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Occult Health News and at our Facebook page at Naturopathy Earth. Please consider a donation at patreon.com/naturopathicearth. Consider subscribing to our podcast. And as always, please post an honest review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to this. And remember the core belief at NPE. Let food be thy medicine. Let nature be thy healer. Until next time. Music attributed to Nine Inch Nails.